Join me in prayer, will you? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks that you have gathered here with us this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit as we continue to unfold your word for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So for his entire life, Peter, who we heard a lot about in the passage from the Gospel of John today, Peter was a fisherman. In fact, he probably was from a long line of fishermen. His dad was probably one, and maybe his grandfather. It was a family trade, like so many others at that time. And I would assume, we don't know if Peter eventually had children, but I would assume if he did, they would also have learned the trade. It would have continued through the generations. But 3 years before the resurrection of Jesus, his life changed forever. Andrew came up to him and said, "We have found the Messiah, the Lord." And his fisherman days were changed for good. He spent 3 years following Jesus, seeing amazing things that he wouldn't have otherwise seen if he had stayed in the boat day after day. Think about all of the experiences that Peter had. First of all, his name was changed. He was Simon, and Jesus not only changed his career and vocation, but changed his name and changed his life with it. Peter saw the miracle of water turned to wine at the wedding in Cana, something he wouldn't have experienced otherwise. How about the feeding of the 5,000 with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread? Incredible acts of God. Jesus walking on the water. I mean, for a fisherman who knew the seas, that probably was really extraordinary. The raising of Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead 3 days and yet walked out of his tomb, alive and well. Peter and the other disciples heard Jesus teaching story upon story, and some private ones as well, where Jesus only taught to Peter and his disciples as they sat at his feet. Peter was in the house where Jesus came twice after the resurrection. He was there when Jesus came and said, "I breathe on you the breath of the Holy Spirit. You will never be alone again. You will always have God with you, even when I am not there. So do not fear. You are not alone. Receive the Holy Spirit." But even still, here we are. Two times has he seen Jesus already after the resurrection. But now, a third time, where do we find him? But out in a boat. In doing what he has always done before. Back to the familiar. Back to what he knew before his life with Jesus. Rather than going out to proclaim the good news of Jesus' love for all people, he decided to go back to the sea. In fact, I'm really surprised that more of you weren't chuckling during that reading, because it's a really silly reading from the Gospel of John. Funny little things happening over and over. And one of those is the frank statement of, "I'm going fishing."
Okay.
So they all decide to go with him. Why not? We know how to do that, after all. That is easy. I can picture these men lounging around, wondering, we saw him twice, but maybe we'll just wait for a third time. Maybe if he comes back again, we'll really be convinced, and we'll really go out and do what he said we should be doing. And it didn't happen, so let's go fishing. And the others, they decide to go along too. So that night they set out in their boat, but they didn't catch any fish. It's almost like poetic justice here. That's exactly it. So they went into the boat, caught no fish, and what did Jesus do but say, "Throw the net to the other side." He hollered at them from the other side of the sea. "Cast your nets to the other side." They shout back, "We haven't caught anything." And Jesus says, "Well, give it a try." But they didn't even know who he was at the time. I mean, this is kind of silly too, right? This crazy guy from the shore yelling at them, saying, hey, just give it another try. Okay. And they did. And they caught so many fish that they could hardly pull the nets up out of the water. And here's another little funny thing. The nets didn't break. I mean, how many times do they have to repair their nets? I am certain of it. Peter then recognized Jesus in this wonderful miracle. And did you catch this? After he says, it's the Lord, he put on his clothes because he was naked. Who fishes while they're naked? I mean, I don't... Right? I've been fishing my entire life, and I've never fished naked, and I can't... Really, I haven't. And I can't imagine that it was a regular practice, but hey, okay. So he puts on his robe and jumps into the water. Wouldn't you rather swim naked? I don't understand, but I can't imagine the whole purpose of this other than to say it caught our attention today. I can't imagine he was wearing anything special. In fact, I pictured him, you know, wearing Gucci loafers and an Armani cashmere sweater and being all fancily clad as he goes to meet Jesus. But instead, he just puts on his robe and drug himself through the water with that heavy robe on. Got to the shore, and another funny piece, Jesus had breakfast waiting. Pretty great. Pretty great of him to have things ready and prepared. Simon, son of John, he eventually asks him, do you love me more than these? And I want to say, more than what? More than these. Is Jesus asking Peter if he loves him more than the other disciples love Jesus? Is he asking if Peter loves him more than Peter loves the other disciples collectively? It's a really odd question. These possibilities, they don't seem likely, though, to me. Because Jesus didn't say that love for one was greater than love for another. You can't quantify love, Jesus said. Love is for all, equally, unconditionally. And if he is to be the example of love, then quantifying it can't be what he has in mind here. It is more likely, I think, that Jesus is asking Peter whether he loves Jesus more than his vocation, more than his own life, more than his own understanding of fishing, the thing that he was born and bred, he thought, to do. Do you love me more than these, Peter? These things that are familiar to you. Does Peter love Jesus so much that he's willing to give up that very thing that shaped and defined him for all of these years before the last three of their ministry together? And Peter assured Jesus that he loves him, and Jesus tells him then, feed my lambs. Two times then, Jesus asks, do you love me? And Peter assures him of his love, finally adding that Jesus knows everything, as if to say, why are you asking me this? And each time Jesus says, tend or feed my sheep. But then he finally says a very clear and a very direct, simple statement. Follow me. I think if Peter would look back on his few hours of his life, he may realize what that statement might have meant. He might have realized that follow me does not mean that life is business as usual. Follow me doesn't mean that Monday through Friday we'll continue to do what we've always done and do it like we did it before. And then maybe we'll have weekend trips to nearby towns and villages, and then we'll proclaim the gospel of love and the good news of Jesus' resurrection and letting people know that they're loved on the weekends. I think it means doing what Jesus did. Loving and feeding the flock, bringing others into the fold, and maybe even dying for the proclamation of the word of love all the time. Not just segregated parts of our lives. Jesus didn't stay in place for very long, right? Even after the resurrection, he was on the move, appearing to them in various places. And I think he expected his disciples to be the same, to go out, to heal and to care for, but most importantly, to proclaim the good news of love. All of what Jesus did, Peter is to do also. Wherever the Spirit is to take him, there Peter is to follow. Whomever he is to encounter, there he is to proclaim. Loving Jesus, following Jesus will take his entire life, not just a portion of him, not just when it's safe, not just when it's comfortable, not just when it doesn't get in the way. As one of the kids said at the earlier service, well, sometimes showing love is boring. Not just when it's fun either. Being a follower of our Lord is a lifelong relationship and commitment. I don't think we need to ask ourselves this morning, how will I fit Jesus and this love into my life? I think a bigger question is, how will my life fit into the commitment of following Jesus? And sure, not all of us are going to change vocations. Not all of us are going to do something completely brand new with our lives because we've decided to follow. I think sometimes it's just a shift in our thinking, a shifting in our heart, knowing that where we are planted, there too we are following. There in the midst of our daily lives, a shifting of our heart means loving even when it's in the way from doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing. And fortunately, we're not the ones who have to judge ourselves. We have the opportunity to try and to try again. The very good news, I think, is also that Jesus will continue to ask us and state to us, follow me. It's not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing where we have to follow and then be perfect at it our entire lives, and yet we have the opportunity to try, to gather at the table, to be at a meal that's familiar, to build one another up as a community and a communion of followers together. Coming home to God's never-failing love, home to the one who knows everything about us. And there we are fed, so we can indeed follow him. So this morning, my challenge to you is to follow, to come back again and be fed and nourished so that you can love unconditionally. I heard a statement from a bishop not too long ago that I thought was rather fitting, a bishop from Africa, and he was talking about loving others. He said, there are many people today who cannot understand what love is because there is so much that's hindering them from seeing that love, so much that's in the way. And the call that we as Lutherans must embark on, and I would say as Christians as a whole must embark on, is to remove those obstacles that hinder people from seeing the love of Christ by simply being that love. So let us be that love together. Let us share it and help to remove the walls so that others who have not yet experienced God in God's entirety may do so. In Jesus' name. Amen.